Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Golf Lovers United podcast. I am Ben, Golf Love UK, joined by my good friend Jay, pro golf critic, who is now Colt Lowe's best friend.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite go that far, but I did make an appearance on his Sirius XM radio show here in the U.S. With Drew. It was a good appearance. It was pretty eventful. I was on there for about 30 minutes. We talked about a wide variety of stuff, and I think it's an important thing to sort of get out there and try to bridge the divide a little bit between the PGA Tour and LIV. I think it's probably time for us to do it and sort of follow in the lead of Yasser and Tiger out there in the Bahamas this week. So hopefully. This is sort of the first of many. I'm sure I'll probably call in again and maybe we'll have him on the podcast at some point.
Well, I messaged Colt privately and I'm not portraying any confidence. I just messaged him and said, thanks for having you on. It was great that a very powerful voice for the PGA Tour and a very influential voice in yourself for LIV and supporting of LIV actually were talking to each other. And I think if we are going to move forward and we are going to heal and we all want to be together at some point in some way, what that looks like, who knows? That it is important that people were talking. So great that you went on there. Great that Colt had you on. So without further ado, let's talk about the players. Players for me was a fantastic event. I thought it lived up to what it should be in many ways. I can't ever call it the fifth major, but it is their biggest event. And it really was. Look, we can talk about there being some of the best players in the world were missing from it. We understand why. That takes a little bit of luster. But what I did find, and there are loads of great things about the players' event, and I think that TPC Sawgrass in many ways is a great, great course. I think in other ways it's not, but by and large it really shapes up well for that event. But the viewing figures were down 10%, and that really surprised me because it was, without a doubt, a fantastic last 2 hours, 2.5, 3 hours. It was fantastic. So I know that you've got an opinion of why the viewing figures are down, and it's to do with players missing. So we'll talk about players a bit as a good event, but what are your thoughts on this? We don't spend forever talking about the LIV and PGA Tour right. divide, but it was stark that there were some names missing, right?
Yeah, you know, the thing about some of these PGA Tour events, and I mentioned it a few different times, like I can't help but notice that when players are missing, and unfortunately, you know, I still consider him the defending champion of the last great players championship. Cam Smith, 2022, still has been banned from the last two. Like, I think Cam deserves an opportunity to defend his title at some point. Maybe it'll be 2025 at this point. Who knows? It's like, look, when you're missing guys like Cam and Rom and DJ and Brooks and Phil and, you know, Bryson, all these guys that, you know, they draw attention from the casual fans. Like, I think it's a really underrated thing. And I think the PGA Tour has tried to do a good job in moving on from those guys and pretending like they don't exist. But the problem is all fans know that these guys exist, and to just try to ignore that you're missing that is a huge, huge problem. And, you know, from my perspective, like, again, this sort of culture of exclusion that the PGA Tour has been, you know, really promoting ever since they started banning the guys going over the LIV, I've had a huge, huge problem with that. Because we sort of talk about how the field is degraded a little bit, but it's like they could change that tomorrow. They can just go ahead and allow a certain amount of LIV players to get invited to any of their events. And the way the PGA Tour is set up, they're not going to do it anytime soon because there's too much red tape. There's too much bureaucracy. There's too many hands that needs to sort of pass through before it gets approved. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but you know, I've also proposed that I think over the course of time, the PGA Tour footprint is probably going to retract a little bit, contract. You know, I've said probably anywhere between 20% and 30%. And that's fine.
Wait. stop it. We're going to do Bahamas. We're going to do that in a minute. You don't spend all your money at once on this. Right. Calm. Cause otherwise you'll have nothing
to talk about.
Chatting about yachts. So you actually said about players being missing. And I just think it's really interesting. I know that social media isn't the world and isn't the be all and end all, but you're talking interesting about casual fans. So I just went on to Bryce. I'm on Bryson's Instagram in a minute. For viewers on YouTube, you just see me wave a screen at you. And for those not watching on YouTube, I waved a screen at you. And look, Bryson's last three videos, which is one about how to create lag and get and drop your hands in. One is him pretending to be a chiropractor, making noise by breaking tees. And one is him doing his yardages. So dropping the hands in videos got 949,000 views. So look, 950,000. The chiropractor one's nearly 400,000. And his stock yardages is 1.7 million. Those were his last three videos. So that's basically nearly a million, 400,000 and 1.7 million. That's Bryson. If I go into the PGA Tour account, which is obviously all of the PGA Tour and all of the players, and I look at their last few videos. Well, even one of Tiger, who is the needle, many people say, has got 1 million. He's got 1 million views. Scotty hitting a great shot has got 460,000 views. Another one of Scotty's got 438,000. So the PGA Tour, which is which ultimately is an organization, it's got 4.7 million followers and Bryson's got 906,000. So it's got nearly five times the followers. But Bryson is able to pull more eyes through his content. And the reason I'm saying that is because I just think it goes back to your point of people are noticing who's not there. And if you are one of my friends who is a casual golf watcher, he said, "I'm not going to bother watching," he said, "because I love watching Bryson." He said, I don't care about the other golfers. Now, I know that's one bloke from Bristol. I'm not stupid. But he's not the only person. And for the viewership to be down 10% when it was, and I know you're not a big fan of Scotty saying he's a star, but when you look at the players who are battling out, you had a really, really good event with Xander, with Scotty, Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman going at it. And it was an absolute trading blows, barnstormer finish all the way through that last 3 hours. And it still dropped in viewership, which is, I think, must be a bit of a concern.
For sure. I think that it's I don't think this has been a concern for the PGA Tour yet. However, it's clearly – it's pretty clear 2024, their ratings have been trending down. And I have sort of been from the school of thought that I didn't really want to bring attention to it because, I mean, to me, look, there's going to be – it was very clear to me a while ago that, like, if you start banning players and removing some of your most popular players from these events, that less people are going to watch. I mean, there's no question about that in my mind. And this is, I think this is just sort of a byproduct of it. And I think the Players Championship as an event, I've been having this conversation with a few different people the last few days. It's like the only reason that the Players Championship is a really big event, obviously the purse has always been on the higher side, but it's specifically because this event, you knew all the best players were going to be playing in it. And clearly starting last year, that's not the case.
It was the PGA Tour event that was guaranteed to have all the players. And people say the fifth major, and I don't agree with that.
It could be. It really could. Yes.
It could, because you've got everyone.
Yeah. Now it could. Like, if they were to lift bans and say, okay, we're going to take the top 20 players at LIV, however they want to do it, put those guys in this event, all of a sudden, it clearly becomes the fifth major, because there is almost, other than the four majors, this is the only other event where you can get all the other top players in the world in it. So that's something they really need to sort of pay attention to. And I think that is going to be part of it. Part of the, if there is some sort of a coming together here, it's not going to be LIV players have access to every single PGA Tour event. I think they're going to have access to very specific ones. And those specific ones are going to be sort of owned by SSG. That's been my theory from the beginning.
Save it for the
come on, I got it. You got to get this in.
Right. It's at the end. It's at the end. Right. Scotty, you've been very vocal saying Scotty's not a star. I'm very vocal against you saying I think he is a star. But I think we need to define the way in which we use the word star. So for the American listeners, I will put it in basketball terms. Russell Westbrook is a star, right? Because he can play and he's got the pizzazz and he's got that around him. Tim Duncan, arguably a much better basketball player, was a star player, but was never a star, superstar, in the same way that he didn't have the pizzazz around him. So he was a fantastic, like Tim Duncan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. It's my point being, I think you are including too much around personality and too much around eyes that get brought in the word star, or maybe there should be a differentiation between the word star and star player, because Scotty is a star player. You can't deny that. His numbers speak for themselves. Is he a star up in lights? Probably not. He's a lovely bloke. Very, very religious. Got a lovely wife. They look like a lovely couple. He's essentially a really nice chap, but he's a bit bland. So that, I think, is the difference we've got to make between star and star player. Does that make sense?
I completely agree. That was actually something that I talked with Colt about, because, look, my tweet over the weekend when I said he doesn't have star quality, I think it got misinterpreted a little bit. Because, look, honestly, I was using the PGA Tour's own calculations for determining who their star players are in the PIP calculations that come out the end of every year, where there are certain metrics that they use that gauge how certain players are ranked in terms of amongst the general public and also amongst golf fans. And Scottie Scheffler is not even in the top 10 in terms of name and brand recognition amongst the general public. And to me, star quality means that, like, you are a true star and people outside of golf know who you are. He's 11th in those rankings.
Yeah. I think that goes to the, if you've got a passing interest in basketball, you would know who Russell Westbrook was. You possibly wouldn't know who Tim Duncan was. With from the UK, obviously in America it's different, but that's what you mean. Like, you're talking about outside of golf, so that's a great example for me with the NBA. Like, I like the NBA, so I would know that. But I imagine that because Russell Westbrook used to wear cool outfits and was quite outspoken and this, that, and the other.
See,
do you know what I mean? That it's kind of it all adds those layers towards the word star.
I actually think more people know Tim Duncan, even though he's very reserved and sort of mild mannered. Like, I still think that there's
not here, not in the UK.
I think there's players, like, if you go back in the past, like looking at someone like Larry Bird. Larry Bird is very sort of mild mannered. Like, Larry Bird and Scottie Scheffler are probably, like, personality-wise, not that far apart.
No way. Larry Bird trash talked Magic Johnson. Larry Bird turned up to the 3 points asking who's going to come second. Larry Bird didn't take his jacket off. Like, all that stuff. You've made the perfect point. Larry Bird had that star quality, that he had stuff about him that was slightly different and that made him stand out. And I think this is why we have to be careful. I get your point. And we'll have to agree to disagree, because we're not going to spend 15 minutes talking about Scottie Scheffler. Can we agree he's a star player, ability-wise? And then can we agree that he doesn't have star pizzazz?
He definitely doesn't have star pizzazz or star quality, for sure. If you want to call him a star player, I mean, you can, but it's also, like, look, I mean,
ability-wise, the run he's on.
Look, we are still talking about a guy that's only won one major championship. Let's just call a spade a spade. Like, I mean, he's not a multiple time major champion like a lot of the guys that we've talked about before.
Hang on. Would you say that Colin Montgomery wasn't a star player?
I mean, maybe in Europe, but not here in the United States.
B-A-J.
Look, I love Monty.
Definitely,
I love Monty. I know he's one of the great European tour players of all time. I am 12% Scottish. I have all the respect in the world for Colin Montgomery. Is he a star? Has he been a star? I don't know. That's a little bit of a stretch. So I'm not willing to say that. Look, Scottie Scheffler is a great player. He's the best player currently on the PGA Tour. There's no question about it. Is he the best player?
What's interesting, I did some math, which is quite interesting. Interesting, I ever bother doing them. And I actually put a post up about it. Let me see if I can find it so I get the math right. Give me 1 second. Bear with me, please, caller. It's going to take me only 10 seconds as I posted the other day. It was about Scottie Scheffler and his world number one status. And actually, I think it's really interesting to see how he's in a really good position. So Scottie Scheffler's got 78 weeks at world number one. Basically, he doesn't have to be brilliant for the next two seasons. He just has to not be horrific the next 2 years. And based on everyone else's points and his points, he will probably get another 60 to 70, maybe 80 weeks at world number one.
Yeah.
Just by having a half decent two seasons. And if he wins a major this year, then you can just write it on that he's going to stay at world number one for at least 50 to 60 without, and he could be pretty poor from the rest of it. So, but what's that's going to do for him is he will then, in the all-time rankings, he'll fly past Faldo at 97. He'll go past Rory at 122, and he'll probably go past DJ at 135 to be third all-time. And I think it's just interesting that that's the level of run he's on. I know, before you say it, the OWGR isn't the same because the other players aren't there. I know that. But it is what it is. It's just the point about where he is versus those that are in the OWGR. And it's interesting. He won't catch Greg. Greg's at 331, so Scotty would have to be world number one for 4.5 more years. So he's not going to catch Greg. But I just think it's a good, it's an incredible statement and showing of how well he is playing at the minute. But look, we'll agree to disagree slightly.
Got to put an asterisk. Any time we're talking about the OWGR from here on out. Huge asterisk next to everything. We can't really judge it because, look, you can argue very, very easily that Scottie Scheffler is not actually the number one player in the world. It's been, if he doesn't win a major this year, it's going to be basically 3 years since he's won one. So, I mean, we have to talk about John Rahm, who's won one more recently. We've got to talk about Brooks Koepka, who obviously won one last year. And if either one of those guys win majors this year, there's no question in my mind that one of those two guys is number one in the world. So Scotty's gonna rack up points on the PGA Tour because that's where all the OWGR points are. So anything after August 2022, when things got totally out of whack, I can only take that with a grain of salt. Like I can't truly value that the way that I used to.
Well, he's a star in many ways. He's not a star in other ways. Scottie Scheffler. We're getting into Tiger territory very quickly. 10 seconds on the betting. He's 5-1. We're getting near to some of those Tiger numbers when Tiger was sort of 3-1, 7-2. We really are getting to some of those days. And I don't do American.
It's a bad bet.
I do it proper.
It's a bad bet. I just so don't think. I think that he's had a couple good putting weeks. I think he's had a little bit of a resurgence because he changed putters. I'm not sure this is going to last that long. So I think everybody needs to just dial it down with the Scottie Scheffler rhetoric because it's definitely anytime anybody on the PGA Tour like goes on a run, people think he's the best thing since sliced bread. And we need to just calm down with the Scottie Scheffler stuff. I need to see what he does against all those live guys that he's been avoiding the last 3 months.
Hang on. It's unfair to say he's been avoiding them. He hasn't avoided them. That's not fair. That's not fair on him. He hasn't avoided anyone. I actually think that Scotty would like to play against them in many ways because I think he'd like to prove that
he was.
He starts
talking about when they ask him about the LIV players, he's like, look, those guys left. And I'm like, they didn't leave. They have been banned. You could very easily, if every single PGA Tour player was like, look, if they took the Rory stance, was like, we need all these guys back to re-legitimize our tournaments. The next week, everything would be different. They're not like that. So it's like I'm putting my blame on them until they fix this. So Scottie Scheffler's not immune. Everybody on the PGA Tour is culpable.
Oh God, you Colts fired you right up. Right, anyway, on to live announcements. So I think it's I hear a lot of people talk a lot of drivel about live will be gone at the end of this year. It just makes me laugh. But yet again, people love to write it. I don't understand really. But obviously, if Liv is going at the end of this year, it's going to be a hell of a surprise for JCB, who've just signed a multi-year deal where they're going to pay for Liv to be there. That'll be a real surprise for them. And for AEG Entertainment, part of the AEG group, who are going to be hosting all the live events and organising that as well. So that's Liv signing two multi-year deals, which is bizarre if they're going to be going at the end of 2024. I obviously don't for a second think they are. I'm being facetious. But I like the fact that the JCB has signed a multi-year deal. I enjoyed Live London, although as we discussed, it was never London at Centurion. I enjoyed it. What I say about Centurion, it never felt quite the right venue for it. It felt like the right venue at that time. Centurion's a lovely course in many ways, but it's slightly inaccessible to get around it as a fan. Like, it's holes 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 are a country mile away. So you end up getting people congregating in certain areas, and it never had a proper range facility. They changed the way the range worked. The range became the family fun area, and they used a farmer's field to drive off the property into a farmer's field, which was great. And it worked really well. And it worked fantastically. But it was then it was almost inaccessible for fans to look at the range. Centurion wasn't designed to host big tournaments like that. It just wasn't. Centurion's a fantastic place, but it wasn't designed to host big tournaments like that. JCB, on the other hand, is. The owner of JCB has been very clear. He built that course to prove what he could do with his diggers, to prove what land they could move, and to build a course that would be fit to host the Ryder Cup. Now, with the Ryder Cup having gone slightly awry, in my opinion, in the way it picks venues, it's I know it's the European Ryder Cup, but at times they're trying to be a bit more spread it around, which is great, and I get it, but also being biased, and I don't care. I'm as biased as I want to be here. Most of the best course in Europe are in Great Britain. So let's not worry too much about spreading it around and trying to find, like, Marcus Simone was okay, but there are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe 150 better courses than Marcus Simone.
I agree.
Like, the Nationale, like, no. It's okay.
Don't love it.
But it's just okay. It's just okay. Like, there are probably another 50, 60, 150 courses better in the UK to have held it, but I know it's going to spread around. So it looks like JCB's not going to be on the Ryder Cup rota for a while, just because of the way it's being spread about. And I know they've got a Dare Manor.
That's going to be good. Soon.
But
love a Dare Manor.
He's now got. Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. Yeah. One of my mates who's played there and Augusta says it's like, he said, like, you. Adair Manor is as close to Augusta in quality as you're going to get anywhere.
Heard that from a lot of people.
Great stuff. But yeah, JCB, he's now got his event. He's got, I think it looked like it was a 3 or 4 year deal. But I like the fact that now on the Live calendar, we know we've got Adelaide for 3 more years. We know we've got Hong Kong for 3 more years. We know we've got Valderrama for 3 more years. We've got JCB for 3 more years. We've got Sentosa in Singapore for 3 more years. We've got the other one's just slipped my mind. Just left my brain. I do apologize.
No, I think you covered them all. Like Valderrama, like. Yeah,
you already said Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hong Kong was one I thought I'd forgot, but I hadn't. So we know we've got those, and I think that's fantastic, and it's good to see.
Yeah,
and I like that, and I like that it's. There is one more.
I guess I don't really count that in the same class as some of the others, and I like honestly.
No, I know, but it's they've still got two more years there, so we know we've got 2 years there, and yeah. So I might have to
have a conversation about Mayakoba at some point, because I'm still not sure if that's the right venue, but. Look, Live Mayakoba this year was a great event, so I can't really dog it. But that course, I'm not a huge fan. I'm just gonna be honest.
So that's the live news on those contracts. I know you're happy like I am because it shows longevity. And also, we've got to stop hearing this about Liv hasn't got is not making any money. We know that Liv at the minute is loss making, but with JCB picking up the bill, with Hong Kong picking up the bill, with Adelaide and the council picking up the bill, with Sentosa picking up the bill, with Valderrama picking up some of the bill, all of a sudden, while the revenues aren't high because there's no TV deal, we understand that, the cost base is dropping massively. And I think this is something people have got to be aware of and understand that actually there's two ways of making money. And one thing is you can try and lower your costs or increase your revenue. So while they try to increase revenues, lowering costs is a great way of doing it. Now, let's move on to the Bahamas because otherwise we will run out of time. It's late here in the UK. It's not late where you are. You've done your flirting with Colton Nost, and your flirting means I have to do this at, what was it, 10:45? This is ridiculous. Just because you got a new boyfriend.
Let's not go there. You will get me agitated, and I'll start throwing insults again. So let's leave Colt. We had our conversation, made a few positive steps. Let's leave it as it is.
I'd love to get a four ball, you and me versus Colt and one of his mates. This spot has 12 shots, playing dreadful, and they're all scratch.
I did challenge Colt to a match straight up. So just for the record, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I'm very confident in my abilities, and I'm very confident he's not doing much practicing. So I think that I can handle him, but we'll have to wait and see.
Also, he's got everything to lose.
Oh,
he's
there'd got be so much pressure on him. So he would be under so much pressure to win that.
That's worth 2 to 3 shots for sure. That first, you both blazing off the tee first shot, and he's got a nippy little wedge, 70-yard nippy little wedge. Don't want to blade that one, do you? Don't want to chunk it. The pressure's on early doors. Chunks the first one, and that's it. You just turn around and wink at him. Right, anyway, Bahamas. So, in short, Yazir and a Live delegation went to the Bahamas to meet with the Player Advisory Council, with Tiger Woods and a couple other players. The guy on Twitter that tracks the boats and tracks the planes was good value, letting you know who was going there, where they were going. And obviously, with the Player Advisory Council was the policy board and members of SSG and John Henry and a couple other people and Greg Norman's mate. What's Greg Norman's mate called? Owns the Met.
Steve Cohen.
Gone blank. Steve Cohen, that was it, yeah. Someone said to me, what was it said? Steve Cohen, a man who basically owns 2.5% of everything.
Yes, I've got a love-hate relationship with Steve Cohen, considering I'm a born and raised Mets fan, but I'll...
Yeah, just diversified his income. Someone said he diversified his income into owning a little bit of every single thing in the world. I thought it was quite a funny little joke, but there we are. So... His ear's gone there. He's in the Live delegation had gone across. And for those people that thought that there was going to be an outcome out of that meeting where anything was going to be decided, it's bonkers. So it was made very clear to you and I from a couple of people on the inside, from different sides, from PGA side, from just different voices, that it was truly a meet and greet. And that's what it was. It was for everyone to see each other, watch their eyes, say hello, understand that there is a golf vision, understand that Yazir is looking to, he is genuinely interested in making golf bigger and better. And then the bit we don't know is the conversation with Yazir and Tiger on the yacht and who was on it. I cannot get any information out of anyone who was on that yacht with Tiger and Yazir.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't know if anyone even knows.
No, that's...
Because we would have got wind if he was on the boat.
Yeah,
by
the
now.
Circle's really tight on that for sure, and I think that that's probably a good thing. And look, I've also heard that Tiger and Yasser got there early. I've actually heard that they're still there. So look, there is after everybody left, the only two modes of transportation that were still in the Bahamas were. Tiger and Yasser's transportation. Everybody else was gone. So I think that
Yeah, Yazir's plane and Tiger's boat was still there, like 12 hours after everyone else left. Yeah, like a full day,
basically. And I think that this has been something that I've been pleading for a very long time because, look, everybody knows Tiger is seen as the leader of the PGA Tour. There's no question about that. I think that he's been able to consolidate his power significantly over the last year. There's no question about it. And the fact that him and Yasser haven't even met prior to this weekend is just completely crazy to me because this is what needed to happen 2 years ago because Tiger needs to have a full understanding of exactly what Yasser's plan is because I promise everybody out there, Yasser has explained this plan to all of the players, all of the top players that went to live. He had this conversation with Jon Rahm late last year. And that conversation is what got Jon Rahm over the line because his offer basically hasn't changed for a full year. That conversation changed everything. So, and he's had, we already know he's had conversations with Rory. And directly after those conversations with Rory, Rory has changed his opinion. He's changed his, what he says in the media. And I needed this to happen with Tiger because Tiger's basically one of the last barriers that needs to be cleared in order for everybody to sort of get on the same page. So I'm glad that this has finally happened. I'm not sure if it's going to change the eventual outcome of this. However, I think Tiger being more involved and learning about what Yasser's about, like you just have to remove these barriers and you have to like start bringing people together in order to like fully understand exactly the entirety of the picture. And I think that there's more understanding about the entirety of the picture now than there was even a week ago. And that's a huge, huge step in the right direction.
Just reading the article that's just dropped now from Bob Harrig while we're on the phone, while we're doing this, that it would appear that Webb Simpson's rolled back some of his rhetoric. It's funny that these players are very loud and anti-LIV and anti-PIF, the Public Investment Fund, just because when Jay tells them to, yet when they meet Yazir, who talks to them and explains what he's thinking, what he would like to do, they go, oh, it seems sensible.
It gets me very frustrated. I'm trying not to just go absolute ham on the PGA Tour players and their directors because it's like...
Look, Peter Malinati, it's obviously clear we're definitely talking to a golf nut. The people who do not understand, look, cat in the bag, in Jeddah, I met Yazir, right? You know that. I've not spoken about it. I met him. I got to spend a little bit of time with him. He is obsessed with golf.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Obsessed. Like, if people don't understand that he wants the best for golf, this is what happens. I'm reading this article. It's like, I just wish these people knew, like Rory does, that when you spend time with Yazir, there are no ulterior motives. He loves golf. He's not trying to buy the game of golf. He just loves golf. And he's got an idea of how he can make it better. And he's got the money to back it up.
Yeah. And the establishment hates that.
It would appear that everyone now is realizing that LIV's going nowhere from this article. Yeah, LIV's going nowhere. We told you this.
Again, I'm restraining myself so much because I want to go so hard on Peter Malnati and Webb Simpson and all those guys. I'm going to reel it back in. I'm not going to. I'm just going to zip it. But this needed to happen. This absolutely needed to happen to make any sort of progress. I still don't think there's going to be an actual merger.
Yeah.
However, we just need coexistence. That's the only thing I'm looking for at this point.
Yeah, look, and the time isn't now, but I've got some ideas on coexistence. You've got some ideas on coexistence. We've all got ideas on coexistence and what it might look like. But look, let's call it a day now on the podcast. And a couple of people asked me a question. What's happened to our fantasy picks? We stopped doing them. You hate doing them. Mark was away. I then went to Jeddah. We couldn't record something. And next thing we knew, it wasn't deliberate. We just forgot to do them for Hong Kong, didn't we?
I didn't forget to do them for Hong Kong. I just don't like doing it.
You didn't remind me deliberately.
Because the problem is, like, with me and Pix, I like to just enjoy golf events for what they are instead of, like, having this, like, additional rooting interest. Like, I want to root for my aces. I want to root for the players that I like. If I start making picks, all of a sudden it's like, oh, because I picked this guy, I want him to win now. Mate, like, I don't.
A shout out to one of our good friends, Red Harrington. Now, I love Red. Like, I adore him. But I don't feel he enjoys watching golf because he gets so cross when he's... Like, the other day, I think Jon Rahm missed a putt. He's going ballistic. Like, I'm like, just enjoy the golf.
I tried to warn him about that fantasy.
And then, like, Kevin's winding him up. Kevin's winding him up. It's brilliant. I'm just watching it. Like, so I'm watching the golf and then watching Kevin stoke Red up. And, like, oh, he's missed another putt.
Fantasy and picks, it just... I see the appeal. I get it. But like I tell people all the time, there's a reason why I don't do it anymore. And that's the exact reason.
Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end it there. We keep getting asked about Mark. I promise you Mark's still here. Just so you know, the reason you can tell Mark's here is because you're listening to this. If it wasn't for Mark doing this, then you wouldn't be hearing anything. Look, we're having to address the elephant in the room, which is that Mark is doing hours and hours and hours of editing and then having to sacrifice not being on the show because he's busy with work life and with other stuff. And so we are desperately trying to find ourselves a producer to take a lot of that workload off Mark, but producers cost money. So let's get the begging bowl out with glugc.com/support. If you would like to go and be a member of our fan club, I say fan club because it just makes me happy to say those words. But if you want to be a member of our family, please go along and join. You can pay for $10 a month, and that will help pay for our producer. So if you'd like to do that, that would mean the world to us. glugc.com/support. And if you want to send us any questions, I say it all the time, just go to the GLUGC or Golf Lovers United podcast page on Twitter and send your question to that. We do monitor it, and then we'll save it, and we'll ask those questions. So please just do feel free to put something in there. One very quick thing before we go, Jay, and I didn't talk about it in the show, and I meant to talk about it in the show. I've been told AK's getting fit for clubs this week.
Yeah.
I've still not heard anything about the caddy situation. Obviously, he's very comfortable with the caddy on his bag because it's one of his best mates, and that's been a big thing from about being comfortable. Do we have any news or knowledge if there is a caddy situation going on?
No, I know that's something that's currently in the works. I know sometimes these things take a little bit of time to sort of shake out, and it's only been – look, he was playing on the Asian Tour last week, so he hasn't been – hasn't had that much time yet, but having a professional caddy is a priority. I'm not sure if that's going to be resolved in time for Miami, which is only in like 3 weeks now. So we'll have to see.
There's a great caddy going spare. The guy that was on TK's bag last week at the International Series he's a mate of mine, Mike. He's doing 3 weeks in the LPGA Tour this week now and the next 2 weeks. But I know he's looking for a full-time bag. He's a great professional caddy, and they might want a bigger name or a more established name. But I think sometimes it's a name you can trust, and a professional caddy is a big thing. So, and I talked about that the other day on the sim. I think a lot of people don't realize how caddies also need jobs. Now, it's not just players getting a start, but caddies need them as well. No,
and caddies on LIV are, I mean, they do very, very well for themselves, better than they do on the PGA Tour. So even though there's a limited number of events, everybody's guaranteed a check, obviously, which means the caddies are guaranteed to get paid as well. So those things are, look, finding a caddy for AK is not going to be hard. There's going to be a line. It's just a matter of timing and when he wants to do it and when he's comfortable. That's the only thing that's a question at this point.
Yeah. I sometimes, I don't, there might be people that know about caddies, might not be, but I know a few professional caddies who are desperately trying to get on a bag, and it's a tough life. It's a hard graft to get on a bag, and then when you get on it, if your player's not playing well, it's tough. Like, I hope the couple of guys I know who are looking to get starts on bags. Quick shout out to my mate Matt Lloyd Travis of Swig Golf. He has just got his European Tour profile set up on the European Tour internet. So he's playing in a couple of, I think he's going to play in a couple of Challenge Tour events and something else later on this year. I'm not quite sure, but it was a big moment. He sent me the picture. I'll show you now. Hang on a second. Let's just get rid of the foul language and new messages I might have now, isn't it? It's all right. But yeah, he was so excited. Like, and why wouldn't you be, like, to get that? So he's now finally got that on his.
Oh, on nice. His, yeah, yeah.
There we are. He's now got that. So yeah, he's absolutely over the moon. So congratulations to Matt for getting that. We're going to get Matt on the podcast at some point. Matt was the guy I told you about who played off of plus four. Got set at 17, 18, then just got bored of golf and just stopped, and then just dropped his clubs, didn't pick him up for 12, 14 years, and then all of a sudden picked him up and was a plus four again. Played three rounds.
Yeah, no, that shows you, you know, the people that are naturally talented, like they could pick it up again really quickly. And that's why I said, you know, AK, it might take him a little bit of time, but like that talent's still in there, and it doesn't take it that long to bring it back out.
Look, I did say goodbye. I did end the show. We didn't end it. So should we end it now?
I think we're good for now.
All right. Can you not? Hey, don't cheat me with Colt again. I got jealous.
I see him tweeting me now, so I'm going to have to return it at some point. But yeah, I think he's mad about something else. So we'll have a lot to say.
Goodbye, everybody. Take care.